This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Before we start, please check out our new podcast, Good Sleep. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting, they can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So press play on Good Sleep tonight because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. It's a Minimalist Monday edition of Optimal Living Daily, episode 1172, The Simple Guide to a Clutter-Free Home by Joshua Becker of becomingminimalist.com, and I'm Justin Mollick. Welcome to the podcast where I simply read blogs to you for free, like a gigantic ongoing audiobook with many different authors, today's post being from Joshua Becker, a super popular minimalist. And I'll keep this intro nice and short, so let's get right to it as we optimize your life. The Simple Guide to a Clutter-Free Home by Joshua Becker of becomingminimalist.com. Quote, have nothing in your houses that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. William Morris. I've lived most of my life in a cluttered home. Closets were full, drawers wouldn't shut, things weren't put away, and unfinished projects could be found in most rooms. That was, unless somebody was coming over. Then the entire family would pitch in to make sure the house was presentable. Looking back, the problem with clutter wasn't that we didn't notice or care. Instead, the problem was we could never get ahead of the mess or ever seem to develop a system that would keep our home clutter-free. But that is no longer the case. Today, almost every room in our home rests in a state of order, free from the life-robbing presence of physical clutter. Over the past several years, we have found a system that works very well for our family of four, and I'm perfectly confident you can do the same, no matter how far away from clutter-free your home may seem. Consider implementing the four steps found in this simple guide to keeping your home clutter-free. Number one, believe it is possible. Most of us know it is entirely possible to live in a clutter-free environment. I imagine that is what attracts you to this guide. You are just looking for some extra help to get there. But some of you are not so sure. Your house has been cluttered for so long, you've given up all hope of ever living any other way. For you, the first step to living a clutter-free home is to take heart and believe it is entirely possible. Realize that you will never get there if you do not resolve your mind that you can accomplish it. So find some hope and take one small step, then take another and another and another. Number two, remove the excess. Our homes are full of things. Clutter begins to appear most prominently when we own too much stuff. Conversely, the fewer items we own, the easier it is to keep clutter at a minimum. The first and most important step in keeping your home clutter-free is to remove the excessive possessions that are stealing our lives, time, and energy. In your process of removing the excess, it can be helpful to find a working definition of clutter to aid you in this step. Early in our journey, we began to define clutter as A, too much stuff in too small a space, B, anything that we no longer used or loved, or C, anything that led to a feeling of disorganization. With that as our guiding filter, we slowly moved from room to room, removing everything that fit that definition. In some cases, this step is easy. Junk drawers full of unneeded items, rubber bands, old batteries, or old keys, closets full of clothes you no longer wear, or decorations that are no longer meaningful and/or outdated. In other cases, this step will take more time and intentionality. Large projects such as the garage, basement, or attic, sentimental items that have collected over the years, books, other family members' clutter that have begun invading common spaces. The most important key in completing this step is to start with the small and easy projects first. Begin there. As you do, you'll build up small victories. Then, after the small victories have been won, you'll find extra motivation to begin tackling the harder cases of clutter in your home. If you still do not feel fully capable of removing the excess possessions from your home, find encouragement in an intermediate step. For example, put the items you can't quite part with in a cardboard box out of sight with a date on it. Getting rid of unnecessary possessions is essential, but it doesn't have to be a race. Number 3, implement habits to manage your clutter. For most of my life, I thought the key to maintaining clutter was found here. Just organize, clean, and organize again. But I was wrong. Because I had not taken the time to remove the excess in full or in part, I could never get ahead of the clutter in my home. There were just too many things in too small a space, no matter what system we tried to implement. As a result, healthy clutter-clearing habits never had opportunity to emerge. So do not skip the removal step. It is absolutely important. And the more energy you put in removing the excess, the easier it'll be to find and develop habits to better manage the things you keep. Once you have cleared the excess, you'll be able to better discover which habits keep your living space free of clutter. And once you experience the freedom and stress-free life of living clutter-free, you'll find these habits easier to embrace. Some of these habits will recur daily. Cleaning the kitchen after each meal, placing daily use items like clothes, books, and toys back in their designated homes, fully completing projects around the house, and developing an evening routine. Some of these habits will center on specific locations that serve as clutter collection sites in your home. For us, our kitchen counter typically collects items like mail or schoolwork during the day. Our living room sees a high volume of traffic each day, and one of the bedrooms in our home finds itself a bit messier than the others. Each of these specific locations require extra effort and energy than the others. Some of these habits will center on seasonal needs, the changing of the seasons, the need to remove excessive possessions after holidays and/or birthdays. Significant life changes like birth of a child or new employment will also require refocusing and adjustment. Over the years, we have found clutter attracts clutter. Once it begins to collect, it requires intentional action to clear it away. Develop for your family healthy habits today to manage the daily use of the things in your home. Once identified, you'll find them much easier to implement. Number 4, slow the accumulation of possessions. To live is to consume. It cannot be avoided, especially in our society and culture. But if the influx of possessions into our homes can be slowed, clutter can be managed efficiently. To slow the accumulation of things in our homes, we need to change our mindset and begin evaluating our purchases differently. Realize that your purchases cost far more than the price on the sticker. Each one will also require time, energy, and effort once they enter your home. Before making a purchase, begin asking yourself these questions. Is this item really needed? Do I have a place to store this when I get it home? How much extra work will this possession add to my life? Am I buying it for the right reasons? This thought process isn't designed to keep you from making purchases ever again, at least it's not supposed to. Again, to live is to consume, but these questions are designed to bring intentionality into your life. They raise in your mind the awareness that some purchases take more from our life than they offer. They help you know the difference and slow the accumulation of clutter-causing items into your home and life. Again, it is completely and entirely possible to live in a clutter-free home. With this simple guide, you'll be well on your way. From somebody who has lived both, I can quickly attest that once you begin to enjoy the physical and mental freedom that accompanies clutter-free living, you'll make an extra effort to ensure your home does not slip back into the home it used to be. You just listened to the post titled The Simple Guide to a Clutter-Free Home by Joshua Becker of becomingminimalist.com. I'm going to keep this ending nice and minimal, nice and clutter-free for you today. Have a great one, and I'll catch you tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.
Hey, this is Dan from the Optimal Finance Daily podcast, which is a lot like this show, except more focused on personal finance. Justin handpicks the best posts he can find from blogs and authors like Ramit Sethi, Mr. Money Mustache, and more, and I read them to you 5 days a week. So if you enjoy this podcast, come on over and subscribe to Optimal Finance Daily too. And together, we'll optimize your financial life.
You've been listening to Optimal Living Daily. Be sure to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on each new episode and head to oldpodcast.com. That's OLDpodcast.com for a free gift as well as more actionable tips and resources to help you maximize your potential. Thanks for joining us, and remember, your optimal life awaits.